Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Welcome back to another episode of The Deen Show. We're here every week, same time, same channel. And if you don't catch us on the TV, all of our shows are at the, T-H-E, Deen Show, D-E-E-N, show.com. All of our guests, they have their own section, and you can go there, view some of their shows, learn about this wonderful way of life. We also have the blog section there that you can get a lot of our podcasts. Download it in MP3 format and share it, put it on CD, share it with the world. Don't forget about the DVDs for Dawah Volume 2 is out. Now, today we're going to be discussing having a topic, having some fun and being serious at the same time, and we're going to let everyone get involved. Dunya, dunya. We're going to see where do we fit in this. We know that many of the distractions that are distracting us have to revolve around things in this dunya. The man chasing the woman chasing the man outside of marriage. The people who rather go to the nightclubs rather than the masjid. The people that are letting all the material things and goods interfere with their obedience to the one who created them. Dunya, dunya. So now we're going to bring out our brother and your brother, Kemal, to help us with this topic and to see where you fit in. And when you hear this, you can also come out and say the words, dunya, dunya. And then we have to ask ourselves, are we willing to make the change so we can all benefit from this program? And the non-Muslims get to learn some new words. What are we saying when we say dunya, dunya? And then if you see a Muslim who's doing some of these things that we're going to point out, you can go to him and say, dunya, dunya. This is what we're going to be discussing when we come back here on The Deen Show. You don't want to go nowhere.
Allah, there's only one God, and Muhammad is His messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God, and Jesus was His messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah.
I don't know why I did that. Maybe it's just to break the ice. Assalamu alaikum, how are you doing? How is everything?
Alhamdulillah, how are
family,
you?
Family, children, everything's all good in the hood?
Everything's 100%,
alhamdulillah. All right, you're not in the hood, you're here at the Deen Show.
Absolutely.
Alhamdulillah, all praises to the Creator of the heavens and earth that He's united us and we're here, and you have your own section on thedeenshow.com that people can read about you and watch some of the previous shows that we've done. We're going to get straight to it. I'm going to, before we start the topic, because I'm going to read out some things,
okay,
and we're going to see if this is dunya dunya or it's something else.
Okay.
And we'll discuss it, but I want you to just to introduce this. What is this word? What do we mean, dunya?
But by dunya, we mean this worldly life, and we're specifically referring to, you know, being attached to materialism, being attached to this, you know, things of this world too much, whether it's love of money or it's cars or it's homes. But basically, we're referring to things where it may have something to do with your desires and things that you crave, your lust and love of materialism, love of money, what have you, all those. But it's important to clarify that in Islam, it's not that you're supposed to basically be a hermit or just live in a cave somewhere and totally shun the dunya. One of the best examples is the Prophet ﷺ. He gives us how we should be on this earth, like a traveler. So this is not the final destination. We're passing through this earth and we focus on the final destination. So basically, the best analogy to that, and basically the Prophet ﷺ said, be like a traveler who sits under a tree, he rests under a tree a little bit, and then he moves on. The tree is not a major part of this journey now. He just rested under it for a little, and that's it, it's gone. He's focusing on the final destination. Same thing, suppose you're driving your car across the country from New York all the way to California. So you're going through the Midwest and you see this huge sale on furniture. Chairs and sofas and desks and shelves, all kinds of things for like, you know, $1 each, $1.50, brand new. You know, if you drive by a place that has, you know, leather sofas that would normally cost you $1,500 for $1.50, what are you going to do if you're a traveler? Can you buy it? Can you buy the sofas and all that, put it on top of your car? No, because your focus is your final destination. I'm only passing through this area. So when you pass through and you're journeying through, you only take what you need for the journey. So if I'm going to go from point A to point B, I take what I need for the journey, I get enough gas for the journey, I get enough clothes and enough food for that journey. If I see tons and tons of electronics and things that are free or almost free, I don't have time for them because I need only what I need for the journey. So the advice then was for the Muslims to take from this dunya what they need to make it through the journey. Not to amass, you know, tons and tons of mansions and hundreds of cars and try to amass millions and millions of dollars, because you don't need that for the journey. Just take what you need with you. So that's the whole point. It's to discourage us from being totally into the dunya, but at the same time, it's not saying go live in a cave and just stay away from everybody, mm-hmm. don't use technology, don't dress nice, don't look good. And we have actually clear a hadith that says what Allah loves when He bestows money on you. He loves to see the result of that. The result of that is you, you know, decked out looking... What do they say? Fresh fly? Uh-huh. What do they say these days? Like how you're looking.
MashaAllah. You know? Alhamdulillah. So now it's not to get hypnotized by the delights of this world, which are only transitory, mm-hmm. but to get hypnotized what Allah, the Creator, has waiting for us. Huh?
Nice. I couldn't have said it better. MashaAllah. Not to be hypnotized by the delights of this world.
Alhamdulillah. Nice. You ready to get with it?
Let's do it.
So now, the audience, they can get involved. Non-Muslims and Muslims, you just taught them this world now, and they say, hey, I know these Muslims, they're in dunya, so they can say it, the non-Muslim, the Muslims can say it, and we'll see, does it fit in this category, doesn't it, and then we'll discuss it with the first one.
Well, how about this, can I interrupt you?
Sure.
I would love for your non-Muslim audience to, when they learn, and as they hear the episode, if they catch something happening, now if you have a coworker who's a Muslim, okay, you're non-Muslim, you have a coworker who's
yes,
a Muslim,
yes.
and you catch him doing some of the things, go and tell him, this is dunya.
Exactly, yes. So when you're called to prayer and success, hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah, that person rather make tawaf around the mall, and they rather go and get entertained by the baseball, football games, the Xbox, rather than answering the call. Is this dunya?
It seems like that's dunya.
Dunya.
So, you know, when, and let's, best example, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was described that he would sit with his family at home, they would laugh, they would joke, they would tell stories. But then, the description is fantastic. When he heard the iqama, or he heard the adhan for the salah, the call to prayer, he would get up as if he did not know us. So it's serious. We can joke, we can laugh, we can talk about the dunya. But when we hear the adhan, we hear the call for prayer, that's it. No more jokes, it's time for prayer. You're at the mall, that's it, you stop. I know people who spend all day at the mall, but when it's time for prayer, they go and pray. Some of them pray in fitting rooms, but they pray, you know? But you can't just keep going around looking at things or wasting time, you know, going to these events that are extremely extended and long, where you will lose one, two, maybe three prayers even, mm-hmm. and think, well, this is okay. No, that's dunya.
So you need to come and answer the call to
Absolutely.
What will truly give you success.
Absolutely.
Is that relationship with your Lord. Minimum five times a day.
And it's not that difficult. There's always a place or somewhere where you can pray. It's not mm-hmm. impossible. Especially at a mall. There's many places where you can pray.
And it's better to answer it now before death. Once death
Absolutely.
Reaches, then you can't answer the call.
That's it.
There was a man who I had watched a video, and he got paralyzed. Mm-hmm. And he was now saying, I wish I can make sujood.
That's all he wanted, just to be able to put his forehead to the ground. But and everyone has a chance to do it now before it's too late.
Yeah. Excellent. Let's go on to another one. We're talking about dunya. Do you fit into this? Do we fit into this? May Allah protect us, that we be balanced, and we do things how the Creator wants us to do things. Now, when a person opens up their iTunes and they find 100 pop, rock, hip-hop songs, and what's excluded?
Quran.
Lectures. Things that are nourishment for the soul.
Well, what to me, that sounds
dunya.
For sure.
Put it in the dunya.
Definitely.
Talk about this now.
This is the problem, you know, look, generally entertainment has become an issue where, you know, if you look at it, when you're supposed to be entertained, right? That means I'm busy, I do my thing, and then I come back and I get entertained for a little bit as a break, as a breather. And then I go back to what I'm doing. But now life is entertainment. I mean, people, their life revolves around entertainment. So suppose, and not that I advocate this, but suppose, okay, I'm a very busy man, I go to work, I'm doing all kinds of things, I'm also studying, and I have just no time for entertainment. So every now and then I pause. This is just a hypothetical. And then you would watch a movie or something. So this man entertainment is a small part of his life. Not that we're advocating that. But some people, their whole life revolves entertainment. So they watch movies either all day, and then they're listening to music. Now on top of that, they're now also so immersed and following the lives of the musicians. Who divorced who? This is beyond entertainment now. Now you're making it a life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're basing your life around people who are just supposed to be there to make you laugh and to entertain you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny that a comedian, for example, he's like a jester, realistically. He's supposed to stand up and make you laugh. So he's like a jester. You're supposed to just laugh at him and not take him seriously. But now these comedians, people take them seriously and start to revolve their life around them, chasing after them. Who are they married to? Who did they divorce? What's happening with them? Following their story. This is just someone to entertain you. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to be worshiping them now.
Yeah.
But this is what has happened. So you look at someone, you find that they're... I can never forget one time I was on the airplane. This young girl, she was 13 or so, opened up her laptop. I said, mashallah, she's going to read. Yeah. I'm sitting behind, I could see the laptop open. Then she opens up a movie.
Yeah.
And she minimizes the screen, she's watching the movie. While she's watching the movie, she opens up another card game, and she's doing both. I mean,
wow, just movie, card game.
Movie, card game, trying to do as much entertainment as possible. I mean, relax a little bit.
Isn't this the trick of the satanic forces, that the Day of Judgment is coming? So keep you entertained.
Absolutely.
To not focus on death, about your responsibilities, about what you should be doing, your purpose in life.
You know, Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, he used to say something that was amazing. He used to say, I always wonder at someone who laughs like really, really, really hard from the depth of his soul. He's laughing so hard. And he knows he's going to die. And he knows there's going to be judgment and grave and so on. So that these are just his contemplations. But what we're saying, people know that they're going to die. People know that there's heaven and the hellfire. And yet, you plug up your ears listening to this stuff all night and day.
Yeah.
And people now don't even socialize with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You see them walking, they don't hear you, they don't greet you because they're so busy listening to things. Definitely it's dunya dunya.
Let's continue talking about dunya dunya on the Deen Show. We'll be right back. Allah,
there's only one God. When you look at the Bible and it says the earth has four corners, that's wrong.
Yeah.
If any Christian can point out a single unambiguous statement where Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, says that I am God, I am ready to accept Christianity.
Back to the Deen Show, and we are talking about dunya dunya. We were leaving off with the entertainment. Let's just spend another minute on this, because I think this is really crucial. Hollywood, Bollywood, I mean, you're lined up to watch the next movie. And we're not, I mean, people who are we can't have some fun. I mean, we don't want people to think that there's not some halal entertainment, some things that we do as Muslims that's boring, restricted, right. You know. So let's balance this out.
Right. I mean, the Prophet ﷺ explained to us already that it would be impossible for us to constantly be in the state of thinking about the next life and the hellfire and paradise. And he said this to Alhamdulillah, one of the companions, radiallahu anhum. He said that if you were able to remain at that high state of iman, the angels would come down and shake your hand and walk with you in the streets. So it's not realistic to expect someone to be like that. And there is leeway in Islam for people to enjoy themselves and to laugh and to entertain. It's not serious the whole time, but it's also not a life of entertainment the entire time, to the point where you never listen to the Qur'an, you never remember Allah Azza wa Jalla, you miss your prayers, all of this because of entertainment. So it's neither this nor that.
Not one extreme or the other.
It's always the middle path.
Not too fascinated with things of wasting time and that. You have some fun, you give everyone their rights, but
absolutely,
the first and most right is to be given to the one who created you.
100%.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Okay, next one on the list. Does this qualify as dunya dunya, or we put into something else? When a person goes to the house of worship, mm-hmm, the house of God, the house of Allah, to make the salat, but at the same time to conduct some business, is this dunya dunya?
So he's got to meet up with someone for a business or something like that.
And at the same time, he's going to make the congregational prayer in the house of worship, the masjid. Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is actually not dunya dunya.
It's not dunya dunya. No. Okay, we got our first. No dunya dunya.
Not dunya dunya.
Okay.
Because, in Islam you can have more than one intention. I can be going to the mosque, because I want to pray and it's a time for prayer. But I also agreed with brother so-and-so, let's meet there and whatever it is, I have to hand you, give you your book back or whatever it is, or to even talk about business. You can have more than one intention for doing something. But initially I did, when I went and prayed and everything, it was for the sake of Allah. And there's another added bonus there, I meet up with a brother, something like that. So this isn't dunya.
Okay, so this makes sense now. Okay, you go, you're offering your prayers, and you're going, and you have to take care of some worldly things. But your main intention is to go and worship your Creator.
Yeah, as long as you stand so there.
It goes back to the intention, right?
Yeah, as long as you stand there and you raise your hands, and there you're praying for Allah, and you came there to pray as well, it's not an issue, inshallah.
Okay, now, next one on the list. Is this going to qualify for dunya?
I don't know. Let's see.
We need you to get involved now. You guys be the judges. And can they be free to go and, let's say, write these down, and then they can go to their imams, scholars, and say, you know what, I heard this on the Deen show, and they said this is dunya. What do you have to say? Can they do that?
Absolutely. And they could also think of their own examples and mail them to the Deen show.
Yeah.
And then you could put them on the next episodes.
Uh-huh. And then we can have another one.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Keep doing that. You tell us if you like this, if we can keep doing the dunya on the Deen show. Okay, the sister. Mm-hmm. She is more concerned about chasing the latest fashion magazines and being hip on that, and accustomed more to having and fitting in with the culture and society around them. But when someone, another sister, mentions to her about her obligation towards her Lord and the hijab, she shuns away. Is this dunya?
Dunya.
That one definitely sounds like it's
dunya. Oh, talk to us.
Absolutely.
All right.
Because, you know, And these are some of the pressures, realistically. Yeah. Like, you got the fashion, the hairstyles, the colors. And, you know, fashion, part of it is very embarrassing because, the psychologists always compare human beings to sheep. Uh-huh. And one of the best examples is fashion. I mean, today, the fashion is red. Now, is there a logical reason why it's red? No. But it's red, so everybody starts wearing red things, red hats, red socks, red shoes. And then tomorrow the fashion becomes green. Nobody offers to humanity a logical explanation why green is the fashion.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody just starts doing it. Yeah. So what happens? People get sucked into this and they start to be so focused on the fashion and the designer this and the designer that, to the point where those who can't even afford the designer item, they go get the knockoff just to fit in.
Even the knockoff, just to say, okay, I got the same one.
Yeah. But actually, there is an exception that the scholars make, where if, you know, buying a particular or having a particular item, maybe it's a suit or maybe it's a type of phone that will give you credibility business-wise, or people would not take you seriously until they see that you own this particular gadget or you have this type of camera, for example, then here, acquiring that item for the sake of, you know, it helping you improve your business, what have you, the scholars say it's okay. But just chasing after fashion and running after it like that, especially in the place where it replaces the real Islamic fashion, if you want to call it the fashion, the hijab, right? The long skirt, the good modest clothing. When you're getting into it to the point where it replaces that, then definitely this is dunya.
Yeah, so we're not talking about dress nice. I mean, dress in a way that looks good, but do it according to how your Creator says is the fashion that's sent down from above the seven heavens.
Absolutely.
That's the ultimate fashion, isn't it?
So as long as you're within those guidelines, then you're all right.
Okay, so nothing wrong with that, but obviously, you know, tight jeans and everything's like just bam and bam and everything's out there and you're just making it difficult on everybody. I mean, for what? Okay. What are you seeking?
Right, and then
attention from who?
But the worst part is that here you collect a lot of sins for that.
So whenever
a woman is not dressed properly, you know, if one man sees something haram from her, she gets a sin for that.
She's
one
getting
man.
It, huh?
Yeah, and if two men see something from, she gets two sins for that. Yeah. And if 1,000 people see her, she gets 1,000. So think of how many thousands of sins you're accumulating walking around wearing tight clothing or revealing clothing. Everyone that sees you, you get a sin for that.
Yeah,
and especially, I mean, And God forbid you get on TV looking like that. Yeah. Millions of people will see you get millions and millions of sins. Who does millions and millions of good deeds a day to offset millions of sins? Mm-hmm. Nobody does that.
Yeah.
So it's best, and it's a simple thing, stay away from that.
But what about if she gives an excuse? Well, at least I'm not dressing like her now. And you know what? She's a according to her logic, this right. is modest.
And the thing, the way you do it is that when it comes to religious things, you don't look at those who are worse than you and say, look, I'm all right. So like the guy basically, you know, he says, well, my friends all do heroin. Alhamdulillah, I just do crack. You know, yeah. I mean, that you can, it doesn't go like that. So you don't look at people who are, you know, half naked and say, well, I'm semi-naked only, yeah. so I'm all right. You look at those who are better than you and say, look, I'm naked compared to them. I should aspire and strive to be like that. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the dunya, here is where you want to, like, you look at people who have less than you. So if you have a decent car, you don't look at those who have like a $100,000 Bentley or what have yeah. you. You look at those who have no car, who's standing at the bus station in the cold. Then you feel like I have more of, you know, I'm more thankful for what I have. So with the dunya, you look at those who have less than you, you're thankful for what you have. With the religion, you look at those who have more than you, you aspire to become better. You don't look at those who don't have any religion and say, okay, well, I'm better than this guy. Mm-hmm. You know? That makes sense.
Can it be, just one more note, we'll go to the next one. Mm-hmm. Can it be a sign if you just think a little bit that, let's say you've heard this before, the man or the woman have been cautioned about certain acts that they should or shouldn't be doing, and let's say something happened or like something tragic, they almost had a life-threatening situation, they almost mm-hmm. died,
right.
all right? And now someone's telling them, again, the same thing. Some people expect Allah to have some bizarre sign that's going to send him. He's going to come in a dream or something. Can those be those signs that Allah is sending them, warning them through these calamities and devices and Excellent. Them watching the show right now?
Absolutely. You know, most, like you were saying, most people want a direct contact with yeah. Allah. That Allah will say, do this. And now it's the time, put on your hijab. It's not going to work like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Allah says in Surah Ar-Ra'd, the thunder in the Qur'an, that إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لَقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Verily, in these things are signs for people who contemplate. So you need to contemplate the signs of Allah before you recognize that it's a sign from Allah. It's not going to be like a neon sign telling mm-hmm. you specifically what to do.
It's not a neon sign, huh?
Yeah, it's just something, it could be subtle.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, you'll notice that it's a sign from Allah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we are almost at the conclusion. Thank you for your patience. I hope you're having fun, but this is serious at the same time. We want for us and for you, for all of us, some change to occur in our very selves so we can attain paradise, so we can be in a better state when that angel of death comes. So the next one on the list is, when Allah, the Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, and His Messenger have said that riba, common day interest, is something that you should not indulge in, leave it alone. And the consensus of the scholars have explained it. But now you continue to move along.
And you're convinced by that. You know that it's
you're convinced
not permissible.
By that.
And you're convinced. And
but you are looking for Sheikh Bendel rules to give you some uh-huh. flimsy fatwa, or I'm sorry, the thing that goes with your desires.
Uh-huh.
Is this dunya dunya?
That definitely sounds like it's...
Dunya. Yeah.
Definitely.
Talk to us.
Because, like you said, the guy knows that it's wrong. He's convinced. He knows all the evidences. And I've met many people like this. They know that it's haram. They know that it's not permissible. They know that the mortgage, the usury, the contract, all of it is wrong. And they're convinced. But because they want it, they look for someone who says it's okay. So basically the idea is that, look, I know that it's haram. But this guy, he's an imam, he's a reputable, you know, well-known speaker in the area. He told me that it's okay. So that means on the Day of Judgment, if I'm asked, I'm just going to point at him and say, well, he said it's okay, then it's his problem. It's still your problem. You know and you're convinced that it's not permissible. You just went to the person who would give you the answer you want. So that's definitely dunya.
Can we relate this to a lot of other things that now you want something to fit, coincide with your desires, so now you start picking and choosing. You're your own interpreter of the Quran. You're not going to a qualified person who is someone who, like for a doctor, you go to this
Absolutely.
Specialist, but now you'll take the verses from here and here and come to your own conclusion and look for someone who's going to just agree with what you say.
This is a big problem. This is all over the place, and you find people like, and sometimes you can use this with people, where if you sit at a gathering and everybody just starts talking about the religion with no knowledge and people making fatwa left and right, you might tell one of them, and you know that there's not a doctor in the house, you tell them, look, I've got this weird lump right here, and when I move my arm this way it hurts, but that way it doesn't hurt, and sometimes it gets all red. What do you think I should do? Immediately, what are they going to tell you? Look, I can't give you advice on that. I think you need to go see a doctor. Okay, so you were cautious enough to not give me advice on something that you didn't know. But speaking about Allah with no knowledge, you had no problem with that whatsoever. You know, it's so rare now to meet people who are afraid to speak about Allah without knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone will read the verse and just, you know, make it to satisfy whatever his desire is, you know. Mm-hmm. Or otherwise, you'll know that the verse is saying, don't do it. You'll go look for some guy, Sheikh Bender Rules, who's going to say, hey, do it, it's okay.
Sheikh Bender Rules.
But you're convinced, yeah.
Yeah.
That guy's famous, he's all over the place. And they know that it's wrong, but they go to him anyways.
Yeah, let's leave it on that note with Sheikh Bender Rules, and we'll be right back on The Dean Show.
I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
No problem. You can take my daughter to dinner. You and my daughter and me. Let me tell you something. It's natural. That's the idea. God created it. And He created us to have a good time. Mm-hmm. We should have a good time. Only with our wives, though.
Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. And most of the converts are women, not men. They see that the rules of Islam, instead of constraining them, the rules set them free.
The one who protects us from hunger.
Back on The Dean Show with my brother and your brother, Kamal.
Al-Mekki,
how you doing, brother?
100%.
Dunya, everybody's now saying it.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you the whole family's around and they say, hold on, let's see what's next. Dunya, do you qualify? Are you in this position? Are we? We have to check ourselves, and none of us are perfect, but Allah is the most loving, the most merciful. But we can't just rely on this, say, oh, you know, Allah is the most loving, most merciful, and I'll just continue going to see Sheikh Bender Rules. What are we going to say about that? I mean, can we just rely on that?
No, you can't. You got to do something, and you got to do what's right, and you got to do what you know is right. And, you know, some of these examples might apply to someone. You might be sitting with people now, and then one of them applies to you.
Yeah.
Maybe the next one we do, and you'll be like, okay,
yeah,
we need to fix that.
We need to fix it. So now, the brother Hassan, the brother James, the brother so-and-so, I mean, this, and there's a lot of details, because this is a complete way of life.
Mm-hmm.
So the main thing is that we worship God alone, Allah. Right. We establish the prayer. We do what Allah wants you to do. And then all the other things that fall in place, we slowly try to commit to it.
Yes.
Now, the brother realizes, okay, this is another detail of Islam. It's not something that is the main pillar, but it's an obligation. It's a fard on the male to be able to distinguish himself from the female. One of the things is the beard.
Absolutely.
So he realizes this, but now his boss is pressuring him to shave, to take it off. Is this dunya?
Absolutely not.
It's not?
This is not dunya. Because so basically the man realizes that in Islam you have to grow your beard. So he starts to grow his beard. His boss is pressuring him to remove it. It's not good for business. Customers will be scared. So you have to remove it. And the man is insisting not to, because it's his right to do so. Mm-hmm. And so basically then this is not dunya. He's following what he's commanded to do. You know, Eddie, the beard issue now, whenever you say the word beard, it's like, oh, he's one of those beard people again.
Yeah.
You know, haven't we moved past the issue of the beard? Why are you bringing up the beard again?
Yeah.
It's a command of Allah. It's a command of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How do we move past any of the commands of Allah? Sorry?
What did he say? Remind the people.
So many times people will tell you, you know, don't talk to us about beards, and this is, you know, we've got bigger issues. You know, we've got bigger issues. We've got people dying all over the world, Muslims being killed, things happening.
But what did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam
say? Oh, sorry. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was saying, he commanded us. He said, you know, he said, grow the beard. Or leave alone the beard, meaning do not take from it,
mm-hmm.
and trim your mustache.
Yeah.
So this is the command from the Prophet ﷺ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so the scholars say a lot of things are wrong with shaving. So you change the creation of Allah because males have facial hair. You resemble women because they don't have facial hair. You disobey, you go against the command of the Prophet ﷺ. And this is something that all the prophets as well had, they all had facial hair. So the Prophet ﷺ commanded, leave it. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know something? What has become the image of a good-looking guy is the guy who is what they call clean shaven. I call it dirty shaven.
Yeah.
Because if that means, if that's clean shaven, then we're just dirty over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah.
So now the guy with no beard, that's the style, that's clean, that's good, that's businesslike, that's presentable. Now one sheikh was saying that if in the West the notion was to grow the beard, and if Islam said shave, people living in the West would start growing their beard. They're like, yeah, let me just grow it a little bit. But when Allah Azza wa Jalla or the Prophet ﷺ commands it, it's just, you know, whatever. Or people look at it as, it's just optional if you want to do it or not. It's not about the facial hair. It's not about your appearances. It's what's about
Did all the four imams, someone can say, oh, this is a different madhab that you're following. Did all the four imams, the great imams, did they agree to this?
This is no madhab issue. There's nothing about madhab.
This is a consensus here.
Yeah, everybody.
Was there a situation someone approached you, a non-Muslim, said, you know, why do you grow this?
Right, yeah. And someone said, why do you grow your beard? And basically, I, in another way, turned it around and said, why do you shave? Because I told him, I don't grow it. It comes out by itself. And he understood and he said, you know what, you're right. I shouldn't have asked you that question. You should have asked me, why do I shave? Because he's the one who wakes up every morning and insists to remove what will naturally come out. You know. So, but it got him to think about it. But again, people don't want to hear about the beard. They don't want to hear about things that make them uncomfortable.
Yeah, what about the child? You know, naturally, if the child, if you ask to paint a picture, I like this analogy.
Yeah, when you tell a child, draw the face of a man and a woman, they naturally will add facial hair to the man. They'll add a mustache or a beard because they know this. This is something that naturally happens to male. The hair, facial hair starts to sprout. So it's a natural thing. So actually, you're going against what's natural. And you're getting all the cuts and nicks and everything and putting the cologne on it. That's a lot of pain every morning.
Is there a priority now that we should give? Let's say someone's new to the deen and now he's not even establishing the prayer. How should these be balanced out? What is to be given priority? We just have a few more minutes. Can you just clarify on
Great.
This?
Great. And someone who just comes into Islam, and no one is ever expecting that person to make a change overnight at all. But sometimes people will say things like, don't shave your beard, take off your gold ring, remove your earring, First things first. First and most important thing is to establish the link with Allah, which is the prayer. So the first thing is the person gets to pray. And Allah tells us in the Quran that the prayer will prevent the sins and reprehensible acts and wicked deeds later on. So the first things first, get people to pray and things like that. But we're talking about a specific situation where someone prays and everything and knows that they were commanded to grow the beard, but you know, they shave it and it may have some of the dunya effect there as well.
Okay, they're signaling we're almost out of time. Just to bring this fact home, I mean, a lot of times, I mean, in any institution, any corporation or any alumni school, there are certain details, certain rules that you have to follow. You have the main pillar of it, the main structure, but then certain things that you just have to do. So these are the details of Islam, and how do we now, we look at it just like you would join a company and they would have you do all these little procedures. Allah is the most wise. He has told us to do these things. So how do we look at it from a light where people can rationally understand some of these things so they can see? And is it wrong to ask sometimes, why is the wisdom?
Okay. No, definitely you can ask for the wisdoms. But the reason is clear. The reason is Allah told us to do it. The wisdoms will become clear once you examine and contemplate, inshallah.
Okay, so now we are out of time. I'd like to thank you for being with us here on the Deen Show. Inshallah, we'll have you back. You're going to be back, right?
Anytime, my pleasure, yeah.
Okay, they heard it. It's a testimony now you made.
Let me know.
All right. And thank you for being with us on another episode of The Deen Show.
You have to pray as if everything depends on Allah, and it does. But you must work as if everything depends on you, and it doesn't. That's my point. You see what I'm saying, man? And I don't like that. I don't like us sitting here. What are you waiting for? What are we waiting for right now? What are we waiting for all these people to come to Islam? What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for right now? When they're going to come? They're going to come, Allah going to bring these people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in our hand the ability to do it. Now do your job.